And our scripture this morning is going to be from Psalm 78. We're going to start in verse 1. And I know most of your Bibles are just permanently open to Mark, but we're going to take a little break from Mark for a few weeks. Want to cover some different territory. And while you're finding the passage, something I really want to emphasize for you to keep in the back of your head is that I am responsible for teaching future generations about the Lord. That is, I as in each one of every, you internalize this, make this your own. A little bit of background on this particular psalm, because you read that it is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was one of the music leaders during the reign of King David. And so this particular psalm has been recited by believers for about 3,000 years. And so today we're going to see a little bit why. And again, we're looking at Psalm 78, starting in verse 1. And I trust that you found the passage now. So if everyone, as you were able, please rise in reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord. Psalm 78, starting in verse 1, a maskil of Asaph. My people, hear my instruction. Listen to the words from my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our fathers have passed down to us. We will not hide them from their children, but will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might and the wondrous works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children, so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. Then they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these divinely inspired words this morning. And we thank you that we are about to learn from them. We thank you for generations upon generations that have learned from these words. And we just ask that you would help us to take this to heart this morning. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So, I don't know how many of you all, some of you grew up like in the 70s and 80s. You may remember, for those of us that were growing up during that time, the concern that we were going to be caught in quicksand was, really overplayed, I think. You know, it was like every TV show, somebody was getting caught in quicksand. I don't know what, I thought I would encounter a lot more than I have. Turns out, quicksand is the internet. I will tell you why, because you'll start looking at something and like, wait a minute. You see, you go deeper into, they call it a rabbit hole. But you can start looking at more and more things. I kind of had that experience a little bit this week, because I was checking out something. It's, I was checking out something from my family's history, and, I know a lot less about my family's history than I would like to. Dad didn't talk much about his relatives or anything. But one thing that I was always told, it's kind of a matter of legend, is that we do have a famous or infamous, I guess, ancestor. Myra Maybell Shirley Stahl. Bell Star, yes. Yeah, so I was looking to try to figure out, because my grandparents and great-grandparents are from that same part of the country. I couldn't find how we're related, but I did find the picture online, and oh, I can believe it. She looks like my brother in a dress. So I was like, oh, wait, I'm thinking this is likely true, even though I can't figure it out. But, you know, a lot of things in my past, you know, from before I was born, are a mystery to me because a couple of generations really didn't share things from our history, whether it was, you know, that things we just don't talk about. Any of y'all families got those things you don't talk about? It's okay, you don't raise your hands. But, I don't know, for instance, how my grandfather wound up, you know, from Northwest Arkansas to Ohio, where my dad was born, to Kansas, where then my dad graduated high school and I was born. I don't know if there were warrants involved or, given what of my family history, I do know that's a possibility, but anyway. But not knowing my family's whole story, I kind of find it a little more comforting that I do get to know the story of my faith and our family history, if you will, that way. The history from the beginning of the world and on of God working through his people. Those people that, you know, we will encounter again one day. So while I'm missing some details, it's just good to know, I guess, the history of our faith. And this is something I think it's very important for us all to know. We must all know the history of our faith. And so I want to point out one thing, which is that in the Bible, all history is religious history. You know, the world may try to separate out religious history from secular history, but the entire Bible is the story of the work of God. It is his story from beginning until the book of Acts, and then the Revelation, but the story is continued since that time. But all history is three things, really. It's the story of the work of God. It's the story of those who obeyed God. And it's also the story of those who disobeyed God. So we want to keep these things in mind. Well, first, the work of God. We know that in the beginning, God created, right? Everything that we see and hear, smell, taste, touch, in the beginning God created. That's the beginning of history. God was around long before history began, but that's where history begins. He created. God also called. He has called people throughout history. We read through it instance after instance in the Bible, and we know from personal experience that God continues to call people. We know that God is still at work. You know, there's a whole religious system that believes that God kind of just created the earth, set everything in motion, and then walked away. That's not the truth. God is still actively working among us. He is still working among mankind. Whether we want to acknowledge him or not, or pay attention to him or not, history is God's work. It's important. And so it is essential that we know our history. Starting from here, now, yes, history that has happened since the completion of this book, also important, and it's a good thing to know. You know, there's an old saying that those who don't know their history are destined to repeat it. That's not just talking about 10th grade social studies. That is life. But one of the things that the psalmist is pointing out here is that God was working. And if you read the rest of the psalm, and some of you may have gone ahead and just read the whole rest of it, it's a narrative of Israel's history. There's a lot of times that they disobeyed, but we can't ignore the history of those who did obey. Those who paid attention to what God said, did what he wanted, such as Abraham, leaving his homeland, going to a land he didn't know. People such as Joseph, who, even though he was sold into slavery by his brothers, which that's the worst case of sibling rivalry, I guess, other than, you know, killing your brother with a rock. I mean, but Joseph, in that situation, obeyed God. He was where God wanted him, saved his people. Moses was obedient. He went back and led God's chosen people out of Israel. John the Baptist was obedient. He preached the coming Christ and baptized for repentance and baptized the Lord. Jesus also obeyed God, obeyed him up to death for the salvation of our sins. All these things should all sound familiar to y'all. Now the question is, do they sound familiar to the next generation or two? There's an entire generation, actually, I'd say two solid generations now, who haven't been raised hearing these stories of our past. Because one generation didn't think church was that important and didn't think it was important to teach their children these things at home. Well, then the next generation didn't know. But history is essential. By the way, history is also the story of those who disobeyed God and the consequences thereof. You may remember Cain. You may remember hearing about Lot, who was just trying to save his own skin, even though he wanted to live in a city he had no business living in. And then there was, you know, his wife who turned into a pillar of salt because she was commanded not to look back. You remember that? Anybody know what Lot's last words to his wife were? Are we being followed? History is also the story of people like Jonah, who was clearly commanded, go to Nineveh. And he instead went the exact opposite direction and then, you know, spent some time in the belly of a great fish and then was vomited up on shore. That is one of my favorite things to teach middle school students, because the fish literally vomited Jonah up on the shore. He stunk. But important things we need to know. Because all of history must be seen. That's, you know, all of the history from creation even to the current day must be seen in light of what God did and what happened as a result of his people's obedience or disobedience and what happened to his people as a result. There have been lots of bad things happen through history. Would anybody deny that? There's plenty of it in here and plenty of it since then. History is a series of stories. It's actually one big story, but it's a series of smaller stories involving imperfect people Anybody here perfect? Me neither. It's okay. But we have to learn from them. We have to learn from what our ancestors did right and what they did wrong. Because I must learn from those who have gone before. Now, we read in verse 3 of this passage, things we have heard and known that our fathers passed down to us. By the way, writing is a relatively modern phenomenon, and the, you know, the books of the Bible weren't initially written down. They were initially recited from generation to generation. Parents told their children how God created the earth, how Abraham left what was his home, how all these people did all these things, whether in obedience to God or disobedience, and what they could learn from them. But for the bulk of human history, written histories have largely been unavailable. Formal education was largely unavailable through the bulk of human history. It was always, 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 always the parent's responsibility to pass on to the next generation the story of God and what he did and what his people did and didn't do. The story, his history is the story of God and the story of people. It's the story of God's faithfulness through everything and the story of man's failings through lots of things. And it is there for us to learn from. I don't know if you have ever paid attention to the fact that the Bible is the only religious text that does not portray all the heroes of the faith as perfect people. I want you to think on that for a second. What they did wrong is there for us to learn from too. And it's there for us to share with our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren if we live long enough to see them. We share with the next generation so that they will share with their next generation. I fear we're growing, you know, we've got generations growing up now who don't know the Lord simply because they've not been taught. They've not been taught the wonderful things he's done. And if children don't hear history, if they don't hear what we've done wrong and what God did as the result, they are destined to do the same mistakes that were done in previous generations. And we don't want to leave our children in that situation. One thing with history we've got to be careful of is to not idealize the past. Anybody remember the good old days? How good were the good old days? It seemed pretty good, right? Yeah, I can remember, you know, I mean, I was in high school more recently than some of you, less recently than others, but I can remember, you know, we had great music. You know, I didn't have a great car. I had, you know, best car I had in high school was a 78 Datsun B210 5-speed. And that was fun when it worked. I tend to put that part aside. You know, it didn't work more than it worked sometimes. But we tend to idealize our past. We tend to do that with our history. You know, like in the story of my family, you know, Belle Starr. She was, you know, by the way, she was a Confederate sympathizer, but she also was a horse thief. I mean, You know, so it may be cool to have her in the family history, but maybe not for the people whose horses she stole. But I mentioned it earlier, God's word doesn't do this with our history. Scriptures are chock full of God's people doing dumb things. Lather, rinse, repeat, right? Y'all ever read that on your shampoo bottle? Lather, rinse, repeat? How many times are you supposed to go through that? But people do dumb things, like, for instance, eating from the tree in the garden. That was kind of a dumb thing to do. But God tells us about it. Or what about Jacob? Okay, the kids didn't come down. The guy who got so drunk at his wedding that he didn't realize he had married the ugly sister until the next day. The Bible tells that. And then he worked another 7 years. He's like, I'm going to make this better. I'm going to work another 7 years to get the pretty sister. No, they won't get jealous of each other. Do you think Leah knew she was the ugly sister? I'm sure she did. But the Bible covers that. The Bible covers the story of Israel spending 1,000 years looking for the coming of the Messiah and then rejecting him when he shows up. I said it earlier, the Bible's the only religious text that tells the mistakes of the heroes of the faith. And that is because God's intention in that is to show that these aren't perfect people following him. These are idiots like the rest of us. I always think Peter is going to be one of my favorites to meet. Because, well, he was quick with the tongue. And apparently with the small sword, too. But he was very, very quick with the tongue. He often said what other people were thinking. And, you know, often was berated for it. These are people who are walking with God, watching what God is doing, learning from him, obeying him, and messing up sometimes. Because everybody has a story, and it needs shared with the next generation. Now, again, I say it's one thing to learn from the past, but it's a completely different thing to pass it on. Yeah, I know of a situation that happened somewhat recently with a work situation for Tammy. I won't go into all the details, but they had somebody go in the building where she works to check out heating and air conditioning units. Well, apparently 4 of these units had problems that they were not going to be allowed to run. They had this information. What they did not do was tell anybody. Yeah. They didn't tell, you know, and so it was like the next week, you know, hey, our heat's not working. They send somebody else up there and like, well, the gas is off because your whatever's are cracked. You can't run these. If you have the information that somebody needs, you are wrong if you don't share it. If you have the information that your children and grandchildren need, you are wrong not to share it. Verse 4, we read, we will not hide them from their children, but will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord. God has done a lot of good throughout history, right? Even if he had stopped with creation, that's a lot of good. But what about all the things he's done since then? What about the times that he has rescued his people over and over again? What about the time that he sent his son to rescue us from our sins? Important things our children need to know. And this would have sounded really familiar to Israel because they would remember the words from Deuteronomy 6. These words I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and your city gates. That's a lot of places to put the word, right? It was so that the word of God was always in front of them. Because it's important. We can't treat our kids' spiritual education as an afterthought. Or something to devote an hour a week to. The world's getting them a lot more time than that. You need to spend the time. And by the way, teaching your children about the Lord's not just giving them a whole bunch of rules. You know, it's not a whole bunch. This isn't. Anybody realize this is not a whole big book of thou shalt nots? Did anybody think of it in those terms growing up? I kind of did. This is all the things that's going to make God angry if I do. Instead of thinking of it as the story of what God has done and is doing. We must teach our children the wonderful things that God has done so that they will love him too. I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago, and the author was, you know, the guy had written a book and was being interviewed about it. He said that we have to be careful in the way we teach our children, but maybe not overly careful, because your children will love what you love. And he gave the example. He's a fan of a famous sports team that, you know, those fans are true fans because the team hasn't had a winning season in, maybe in the Bills, I don't remember. But the point was, his kids grew up in that house. They also loved this same team. They learned to love what the parents and grandparents loved. So, if your children and grandchildren are growing up knowing that you love the Lord, they're going to catch that from you. They will love the Lord because you do, because you've taught them to by your actions, by the way you prioritize Him. Your children will understand your love of Jesus by how you prioritize Him in your life. And they will also understand that if you don't prioritize Him, He's not that important to you. It's the truth. My generation has a lot of people not in church right now because it wasn't that important to our parents. Some of us came back as adults, and a lot of us didn't. The children of those who didn't, they're raising children of their own now who don't know the first thing about Jesus. They don't know to love Him. They don't know what He's done for them. They can't know because they've not been taught. It is our responsibility, all of us, to teach our children and grandchildren to live for God, to love Him. Because if you don't, trust me, the world is teaching them not to. and the world is pervasive in their message. It's in the schools, it's in social media, it's on the networks, it's everywhere. Live for yourself. You're the only one that matters. We're responsible for teaching the truth. By the way, the primary place that children should be hearing about the gospel is from their parents. This is learned in the homes. Fortunately, we have a simple way of learning the gospel and sharing it, right? You know, like finally, he's getting to this. That means it's almost lunch. I know. Everett hears it upstairs and says it's time to clean up. It's important, though. I emphasize this because it is so important. The gospel is good news, but before it can be good news, it's bad news. And what's the bad news? That's right. We are all sinners. You know, it's not like the Bible doesn't give us any examples of people who aren't sinners except Jesus. You know, I mean, the one, but other than that, they're all sinners. So are we. We're all born a sinner separated from God. What's the worst news? That's right. We can't do anything about this. We cannot earn our way into God's good graces. We cannot be nice enough or kind enough or just live such a spectacular life to earn our forgiveness from sins. We can't do it. But what's the good news? Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You say that again. Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It's essential to remember that because we can't do it. So we have a problem. Christ took care of it. He lived a life without sin. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and his resurrection on the third day proves it to be true. And then finally, what's the best news of all? That's right. The gospel is not for sale. You can't buy it, earn it, anything like this, but you can receive it. You must receive it. And then you must pass it on to the next generation as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful Lord, we thank you once again for these words that have been so meaningful to us, the words of your holy scriptures. And Father, we just ask that as we go out into this week, you would give us opportunities to reach the lost with the gospel that you have given us. And Father, we just ask that if there is anybody here today or watching later online that does not know Jesus, that this would be the day they would come to know him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.